I never thought I would be a rapophile in this lifetime. However, I have had a conversion. It occurred when I met a certain storyteller, poet, musician by the name of, well, Jaime Rivera is his unassuming walking around name. His real name is Zyme One.
Zyme One.
Z-Y-M-E-O-N-E. Welcome. How did you choose your name?
Back in the day, when I was a teenager and I had a lot more time, I used to be into graffiti, and I still am. I try to do as much as I can, but I'm getting old.
But legally, I hope.
Yeah, legally. Point. Yeah. I used to be into sci-fi a lot, so I was writing a lot of names like Sputnik and Syndrome. So imagine writing Syndrome, and then I was watching Superman one day. Superman that Lois and Clark, and I was all infatuated with Lois. I heard Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
And I thought she was amazing. Anywho, I was checking out my show, Superman, and I encountered the word enzyme, and I was like, what is that word? I always been, you might say for the most part, into poetry, and ever since I was a kid, thanks to my mom, you know, I heard enzyme, and I was like, wow, what is that word? So I remember looking it up in the dictionary, and I was like, wow, I want to start writing that. So I was like, well, enzyme's too big. So I took off the E-N, and enzyme came about. And then, of course, it was kind of like the thing to put one after your name whenever you didn't really have a crew or you rode solo, even though I've been affiliated with a whole bunch of crews for years. So then I was like, okay, well, Zyme One it is. So I started writing Zyme One, and it just stuck.
Well, did you ever have any interest in the actual science of it or just the sounds of the words?
Just the sounds of the words. I mean, I've always been into poetry. I grew up listening to a lot of old records like José Alfredo Jiménez.
You mentioned that your mother introduced you to...
Yeah, she used to play all these records, and I thought it was like the most amazing things that were coming out of this box. Like, wow, like, how does this guy write so beautiful? Like, it's amazing. And till this day, like, that's like untimely music. You see pretty much every mariachi covers all his songs because the dude's like the music is just timeless, you know? So since then, I'm like, wow, I want to write something timeless and do timeless work. And I don't think my stuff will ever be timeless, but
you never know.
That you never know, right? I'm hopeful.
Well, you were born here in El Paso.
Yes.
Tell
ma'am.
Me about your growing up days as far as what neighborhoods you grew up in, where'd you go to school, all that good stuff.
Well, my mom, when she first came from Mexico, and I was born here, and then she brought my brothers, and we lived like in the early, when I was born in San Diego, like in the early 80s, we lived in the Chihuahuita community, right next to the Civic Center.
Yep.
And then from there, I remember just hanging with my brothers, and it was the most amazing times. You know, when you're a kid, you just don't really know what poverty is. You know, you just live day by day, and as long as you're fed, and I wouldn't care. And so we would go hunting for toys because the Civic Center was next door, dumpster diving and whatnot, you know, and that type of fun. And then so I remember like being introduced because of my brothers, being introduced to hip-hop because they were break. They were the rest of their neighborhood kids. And
break dancing.
Yeah. And it was just amazing that I was always the little one. So they would take me along because, of course, my mom would be like, no, don't leave your brother. Take your brother, too, with you. You know? So they would take me along. And it was so amazing seeing them break and pop. And they would do somersaults and jump over me because I was little. And I thought that was like exciting because I was part of it. And well, from there, I went to Aoi Elementary, which is not a new building, but I went to that neighborhood. We'll walk to that neighborhood to the boys' club and get toys in the Christmas time, and then from there, my mom finally got an apartment out there in the projects, actually next to Bowie High School, the Salazar projects. So we went out there, and it was just amazing because, in between just growing up in Segundo, I got to see like a lot of things that are like amazing. I saw murals being brought to life by great artists. As I can't even think of his name right now, but he's an amazing muralist, and he's known for his work even down there at Lincoln Street in the overpass.
Oh, there's a number of them.
Lincoln Park, I mean, and Gabriel, maybe.
Yes, Gaitán.
Gaitán. And the dude's amazing. Like, I grew up seeing all his work. And one of the ones that like vividly stuck in my head was if you're in the Salazar projects and you're mm-hmm. like kind of like in the middle of the projects, there's like a big mural of Ruben Salazar up
yes.
there, right?
Yeah.
And I actually saw that mural being penciled in and
yeah.
being painted.
When you've seen a piece created, it becomes a part of you.
Yeah,
you take a feeling of ownership.
I saw the whole yeah. penciling, the mm-hmm. whole when they put the lines up there to make it full scale and they penciled everything
yeah.
in and then
awesome.
they brought in the colors. Like, it was amazing. And then after that, I grew up there. We lived there for like 10 years or so, or maybe more. And then we moved to the Northeast. And from there, well, yeah, I pretty much lived a pretty vivid, or at least seen a few things when I was little. And growing up in Segundo, I mean, just like any place, you see the bad, you see the good.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, for some reason, you always just see the good, and I seen the good.
Well, that's what I saw when I ran across you in a writing workshop. In this writing workshop, I cringe a little at the thought of, oh, geez, it's going to be rap, okay. Because for me, especially as I've gotten older, but even as a young person, anything that was too strident, too filled with anger or in my face, I could no longer really listen to it. I was too busy backing up and feeling protective of myself. So this was really quite a charming introduction, because I don't want to romanticize poverty and a hard time. I'm sure it was a different experience for your mom in many ways than it was for you as a kid.
Yeah, I was a single mom and all with
yeah.
five kids.
But yeah. what I saw was your ability to call upon the richness of the arts and of all the things that were so real and alive and part of a community, and a gentleness, a really gentle spirit regarding women in your work.
Oh, thank you.
We came into this interview with a little bit of a piece called Land of the Cholas, and it is one of the first cuts on your new album, which is your fourth album.
Yeah, the fourth one, yes, ma'am.
This new one is called Memories of My Melancholy Cholas, Memorias de Mis Cholas Tristes. Would you mind giving me the kind of the introduction to that?
To the Land of the Cholas?
Yes,
or
sir.
The album?
Yes, either one
okay,
would be fine.
Well, I'll start with the album. Actually, I'm into words, and one of my favorite poets is Gabriel Garcia Marquez, one of my favorite authors, and mm-hmm. rest in peace. And so one time I was at Walmart, and I encountered this book, and it was called Memorias de Mis Putas Tristes, or Memories of My Melancholy Prostitutes. So mm-hmm. the title stuck. And then one day I happened to be here at UTIP, and I had
a lot. You graduated in what,
2011, man.
What was your major?
Education.
Okay.
Education.
Okay.
And so I was in the library now. Well, let me check out this book. And sure enough, they had it. And I just went upstairs to the fourth floor, I believe, and I just read the whole thing, like entirely the whole afternoon, just spent reading this book. And I just loved his work ever since. So actually the title is a play on
okay.
of his that book title.
Did that book somehow validate what you wanted to do musically? Or had you already been creating
yeah,
music?
Yeah, well, I had been creating music, but I just kind of, that's how the title worked in with
okay.
mine, because okay. he's talking about his love life and I'm talking about my love, but it happened to be with Cholas. Land of the Cholas is actually it features my friend War II, that's also an amazing poet from a crew called Faceless from Las Cruces. I always pictured like the Land of the Cholas, of course, being a place where there's all these beautiful women with high hair, and then because of all the drama with the hairspray and, you know, all this stuff and the accumulation of hairspray and gunshots and everything else that goes on, it goes up in the air and it creates this hole in the ozone layer. And at the same time, that's the under
the,
it is the barrio.
The Aquanet effect. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That under that is the barrio, or the Land of the Cholas. And it's actually a combination of a few girls that I admired, you know, and
And is this still the little boy in your mind looking at her?
Yeah, and no. Well, at this moment, this is more like the teenager, you know,
okay.
out there in the Northeast.
Okay.
And I remember, she just made it so easy and laid back, and she happened to be a Chola and beautiful. And of course, she didn't give me the time of day, but she was very nice to me, and you know, mm-hmm. she'll hug me and say hi. But it never went beyond that. I wish it would have. But
that's another album.
Yeah, yeah. So Land of the Cholas, you know, and then Her name happened to be Lonely, and that's pretty much the land of the Cholas, and that's the inspiration behind that. And my friend came in, and he had like a, it featured him, and he had like a similar story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a similar story. We shared stories prior to making.
You cross-pollinated.
That's how we usually work. Like, okay. I sat there and we actually talked about it.
Now, where exactly did you record your albums?
I've been blessed. You know, I accumulated with time equipment and stuff and try to make it as best as possible. But everything's pretty much like a grassroots approach, because nowadays studios are very expensive.
They always have been.
And so imagine me trying to deliver a product or trying to make my money back. I would have to sell like 2,000 copies if I was to pay a studio. I recorded pretty much everything in my mom's house before I moved out. I recorded everything in the walk-in closet I had there, and pretty much in underwear, sweating a lot. And a lot, just there. Don't picture that. Just sweating, but it's been a blessing.
You have to turn off the air.
And the reason it's so... It is so well, I want to say well recorded and stuff. It's just that my right hand man, the plug again, my friend Metaphysics or Ray Varela. He's also we're crew and we perform together. He showed me how to master tracks. Like, he's a really good engineer.
Well, it shows. I mean, the production values are really nice. And I'm going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to talk about, well, the names of your first three albums. This is your fourth. And a little bit more about what goes into your music. I'm visiting with Zyme One.
Shoot.
We'll be right back.